be here in Lytham again. And every time I come, we're growing, which is great. I believe that this morning God has given me a word for you that I believe is going to impact you and change you and help you and see the kingdom of God advance not only in your life, but in the life of this church here in Lytham. Hey, that's good. That's what we want. Okay. So I understand that you have just started a series looking at the other John 3:16s. The other 3:16s. Instead of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him, not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. But we're going to be looking at other 3:16s throughout the Bible. And a few weeks ago, when John asked me to come, I looked and I went to Luke. Luke 3:16. It's going to come up on the screen behind me. And it says this: John answered their questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming. Everyone say, someone is coming. Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with
fire.
And with
fire.
It doesn't say amen, it says fire. But yes, I'm with you, amen. And with fire. You know, growing up, I loved fire. In fact, I still have a bit of a passion for it. I think every man does in some respects. But I've got a weird obsession with fire. In fact, just a couple of months ago, I went out ready for the summer and I bought myself a brand new fire pit, ladies and gentlemen. And I am going to build fire in the back garden and it's going to be an inferno. Me and my son are going to be there and we're going to have lots of fires in the back garden during the summer. But when I was five, I was at my auntie's house, Auntie Linda. Any Auntie Lindas in the house? Are you an Auntie Linda? You've got an Auntie Linda, but you're not Auntie Linda. Everyone's got an Auntie Linda. And Auntie Linda is my mum's sister. And when I was kind of five, maybe six, I remember being round their house, my Auntie Linda and Uncle Jim's house. And Auntie Linda was talking to my mum, her sister, and they were in the lounge and they were talking. And I went into the kitchen. And when I went into the kitchen, they still have them now, but do you remember the old-fashioned gas cookers and you had an igniter, like a gun? Yeah? And you go, and you know, it would ignite the gas. And I remember being in the kitchen with my Auntie Linda and my mum before they went into the lounge and I was playing with it. And my Auntie Linda said to me, don't touch that igniter. It's dangerous. I said, okay, Auntie Linda. Auntie Linda and Mum went and sat down in the lounge. And as a 5 or 6 year old inquisitive little boy and slightly mischievous, I went back into the kitchen. And I went into the kitchen and I began to play with this igniter. And I'm there and I'm playing with it. And then all of a sudden, as I was playing with it, a tea towel caught fire. Now, at that point, I had two options. I could shout and go, Auntie Linda, Mum, I've set a tea towel on fire. You better come and help me. Or I can quietly leave it burning and go and sit back down in the lounge because I was scared of the consequences that may happen if I told my Auntie Linda that I'd set a tea towel on fire. What do you think I did? I walked back into the lounge and I sat down quietly and carried on watching the TV as if nothing had happened. About 5 or 6 minutes later, my Auntie Linda, she turned to my mum's called Andrine, she turned to Andrine and she said, Andrine, can you smell burning? My mum went, I think I can. She opened up the lounge door, backdraft, woof. And that was the day I burnt down my auntie's house. I love fire. That is a true story, by the way. I did. Now you're looking at me going, that is a ridiculous true. That's what happened. And it's never ever, in fact, it's never, it keeps being talked about even to this day. the day that Aaron burnt down Auntie Linda's house. But I got an obsession with fire, and I really do love fire. But do you know what? I believe that every church needs to have the fire, not of Auntie Linda's igniting tea towel, but does need the impacting, powerful, igniting power of the Holy Spirit. We need the fire of God to come and in some cases burn down the dross and burn down some of the buildings that we have made that we think that are religious icons to God, but actually we just need the fire of God. We need the fire of God. And we need the fire of God to be burning in our hearts. We need the fire of God to be burning in our churches. We need the fire of God to be burning in every program that we do. Because if we do it in our own strength, it will come to nothing. But when we have something that is ablaze with the fire of God, something happens. Change begins to happen. The late Pope John Paul was asked by his cardinals when he became Pope many, many years ago. And as he sat down with his cardinals, he'd just been appointed Pope, they said to him, they said, what is it you want to see through your tenure as Pope? And he said these words. He said, I want to find me men and women with fire in their hearts and wings upon their feet. He said, find me men and women with fire in their hearts and wings upon their feet. What was he saying? He was saying that we need men and women of God that have a burning passion for God that lives inside their hearts, that's been ignited by something of the Spirit of God, that wherever they go, whatever they do, into the highways and byways of school, of college, of work, when you're at the school gates with the mums and dads, let me tell you, there is something about us which changes the atmosphere around us because of something of the fire of God that is ablaze within our hearts. Above great preaching, above great services, above theology and great theological knowledge, let me tell you this, is that we need men and women whose hearts are ablaze with the fire of God and wings upon their feet. We need it. We have become a church and we have become a Christianity that compromises with the world far too much. And God is not looking for compromised Christians. He's looking for Christians of conviction. He's looking for people who are willing to stand up and say, no, God has raised the standard and we are going to live by what he says and how he believes that we should be. We're not going to settle for what the world says, but we need young people. We need older people alike to be men and women of fire. And in in Luke 3:16, if we could just go back to it for a second, that first verse, he was talking about Jesus. This is John the Baptist. He's talking to everyone and he's talking about Jesus. And then he said these words, he will baptize you, this is Jesus, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need the fire of God. In Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 to 13, and I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit this morning, so stay with me. It isn't a book that many preachers go to, the book of Leviticus. If you read your Bible, at the beginning of every year, I read the Bible in a month. I read the whole Bible, 1st of January to the 31st of January, every year. And when I get to Leviticus, let me tell you, it's hard going on that day. It's not one of the cool books in the Bible. Do you know what I mean? Not a lot happens other than earlobes of bulls being slaughtered and fat and things like that. And it's a bit weird. Anyway, go and have a read. You'll enjoy it. In Leviticus chapter 8, verses 8 to 13, it reads like this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. Listen, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put his linen garment and his linen trousers, he shall put on his body, and he shall take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which is the fire which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. He shall take off his garments, put it on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And it shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Listen. And the fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. In five verses, there is one phrase that keeps coming up again and again. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning. In Luke's gospel, John says these words. He says, there is somebody coming that I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces, but he is coming and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, these days we don't have an altar where we go with our sacrifices and Pastor John comes forward and he burns the lamb or the bull or whatever on your behalf. There isn't that altar. The altar now is actually in your hearts. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Is I believe that was a type and shadow of our hearts today, that we need to keep the fire of God burning on the altar of our hearts. We need a passion for God's church. We need a fervor for God's word. We need a devotion to God's worship, a desire to reach people for God, and a zealousness for God's service. The fire on the altar of our hearts needs to be kept burning. And let me tell you this, maybe some of us this morning haven't got the fire that we once used to have, but this morning I believe that we can fan into flame something so that when we leave through those double doors at the back, something has changed in our hearts, which isn't going to just last for a moment. It isn't built up in emotion, but it's built up in something where God has changed us from the inside out. You see, if we come to church and we just sing a few nice songs and we have say hello to a few people and then we leave the same as what we came in, that is not church. That is a club. And what we have made church, we've made church a club. Church is the place where we come, we congregate together. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, I will be there. That means that God by his Holy Spirit is here right now. And when we come together, we should expect something to happen. We should expect something of the fire of God to come and change our lives from the inside out. If it isn't what we're expecting, why are we here? And I'm at the point now in my life where, you know what, I've seen some incredible things happen, not only in my life, but, you know, in my church. And well, it's God's church, but you understand what I'm saying. But let me tell you this, is that if we don't go back to the root of why we do what we do, we're missing the point. We need something of the fire of God to be birthed within our hearts where we can cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, I was mega, mega impressed this morning with this church. Mega impressed. I've had the incredible privilege of preaching around the world. I've preached in very large congregations. I preached in one of the largest churches in Singapore many, many times for Pastor Dominic Yeo. He's got a church of 15,500. And when you go there, let me tell you, they work you. Flipping heck. They work you jolly hard when you get there. But something that impressed me so much about Hope Church Lytham this morning is I have noticed that something has crept into the church around the world. And when we worship God, the songs that we sing now are more focused on me and what I can get out of God. God help me, I'm a wretched man. But the songs that we sang this morning were all focused on him and us giving him glory. We've got it the right way round at Lytham. We've got it the right way round. And it's something that I've switched at Life Church. We began to sing songs that were so, oh, woe is me, I'm a sinner, God help me. And yes, we do need that. Please don't take it out of context. But when the focus is more about us rather than giving glory to him, you were created to worship God, not God to worship you. And we need to once again readdress how we worship, and we need something of the fire of God to understand that actually our worship is about Him and glorifying Him and giving Him the glory that He deserves. So, fire. Ding. Whose phone was that? Any good preacher has 3 points. I've got 5 this morning. Oh, yes. We're going to go really, really quick, though. Mega quick. Okay? And I want to give you 5 things that fire is this morning. The first thing is this, really quickly. Fire is a symbol of God's presence. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it's going to come up on the screen behind me. We have a great account, and it's this. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Isn't the Bible full of really kind of weird things? Do you ever think that? If I saw a bush that was on fire and started talking to me, I would not say, oh, this is amazing. It's just weird. It just makes me laugh. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. I want to say this, is that fire is a symbol of God's presence. Moses was just going around doing what he'd always done. And in the midst of the ordinary, the extraordinary appeared. I want to say this to each and every person here this morning at Hope Church Lytham. I believe that we need to be a people that just duly go around doing our day-to-day ordinary jobs, and in the middle of the ordinary, extraordinary can happen. That God can come in a way that we didn't even dream possible. Moses was just a shepherd. But in the midst of the just being what he was, God broke in and the fire of God came down. The fire of God came down. God said to Moses, many of you will know, come forward, but take off your sandals. Why? Because the place that you are standing is holy ground. Why was it holy? Because the fire of God was there. Why was the fire of God there? Because God's presence was there. And we need to understand once again, is that we need the fire of God to symbolize His presence. I want to ask you a question. Was it a chance meeting for Moses? Was it just by chance that he was in the right place at the right time and all of a sudden God appeared? No. God had ordained it. And I want to say to each and every person in this room today, you may feel that you're here by chance. You may think to yourself, do you know what? I'm just here because maybe I've been invited. Or do you know what? This morning, yeah, I'm just here because I've got a day off, or I come here every week. No, God ordained it. God's ordained it this morning that you can be in a meeting. And I believe this morning, everybody can leave this place this morning having met with the presence, the person, and the power of God through His Holy Spirit. The second thing is this, is that not only is fire a symbol of God's presence, but fire is a symbol of God's approval and acceptance. Back in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 22 to 24, in the NLT it says this. After that, Moses raised his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle. And when they came out, they blessed the people again. Listen to this. And the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground. There is something about the fire of God that shows His acceptance and His approval. And in that particular verse of scripture, we see that Moses and Aaron go in and they put the burnt offering for the sins of the people. And then it was God's fire that came and burnt it up. Interestingly, 3 things happened when the fire of God appeared. Number 1, the people saw it. The fire of God was visible. Secondly, the second thing is this. It says that they shouted for joy. That's worship. And third thing is, it says they fell face down on the floor. Reverence. Three things. It was visible. It was worship. And it was reverence. Let me tell you this. When we begin to worship and we begin to praise God, and some of us maybe sometimes even get down and we kneel, let me tell you, there is something about it which is like a sweet smelling aroma. What is that? It goes up to God, and God accepts the praises of his people. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to feel something of the presence of God in the place. The second thing is this. Is that I'm not going to go into it this morning, but it's so good. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in 1 Kings. And there we have Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. That's brilliant. It's brilliant. Have a go if you think you're hard enough. Do you know what I mean? And all these 450 prophets of Baal try all these things. And then God's presence comes down in what? In the form of fire. Comes down and it licks up everything. We need God. The fire of God is a symbol of God's acceptance and God's approval. You know, interestingly, it wasn't just 450. There was actually, if you count it in the Bible, there was actually 850 prophets there. Go and have a look. It was 850 against one. And I want to say this to you this morning, side note. Is that you may feel that the world is against you. You may be in a situation right now where you can't see any way out. You may feel that you can't turn to your left or to your right. You can't go forward and you can't go back, and you are stuck. Let me tell you this. One with God is a majority. And you may feel that people are coming against you, but the Bible says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And actually, when you have the fire of God inside of your heart and something has been ignited within you, let me tell you this, you can face the giant, you can face what is before you, and you can say, do you know what? My God is bigger, my God is stronger, my God is greater than this situation, this mountain that may be in my way, and I'm not going to let that defeat me, I'm going to defeat it because my God is greater. You see, a majority of one with God is far greater than anything we can ever imagine. The third thing is this, is that fire is a symbol of God's protection. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 and 22, the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud and provided light at night with a pillar of what? Of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud from the of fire, its place in front of the people. Fire is a symbol of God's protection. Many of you will know that the children of Israel, they'd now left Egypt and they were now in the desert place. They were there, they should have been there just for a few days, but they ended up being there for 40 years. And they're there, but God was still with them, even in the desert. He wasn't here, let him hear. You may feel like you're in a desert this morning, but God's still with you. He hasn't left you. He's still with you. May take you a little bit longer to get out, but don't worry. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep praying for your husband who isn't a Christian yet. Keep praying for family members. Keep praying for people that you think, you know, it's dead and buried. No, keep going. God is with you. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Protection. You know, one of my favorite programs on the TV is I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I know some of you are looking at me now going, you're an absolute heathen, Aaron. Why do you watch such rubbish? I just find it hilarious, particularly those eating challenges. I just find it hilarious. And the first thing they do when they get into camp, in fact, your dad went on it, didn't he? The first thing they do when they get into camp is what do? They start the fire. And they can't let that fire go out the whole 3 weeks they are in the camp. Why? Because they're in a jungle, ladies and gentlemen, and there are creepy crawlies, and there are snakes, and there are other things in there. Why? Because fire keeps the devil away. Fire keeps the enemy away. And some of us have let the enemy get into our homes. We have let the enemy get into our hearts because we haven't got the fire of God ablaze in our lives. We need the fire of God for his protection. Let me tell you this, is that when you have the fire of God inside of your heart, I believe that the enemy looks at you and says, you know what? I want to take him down, but I can't. I want to take him out, but I can't. Because there is something of the fire of God that is ablaze. It keeps the enemy at bay. It keeps the enemy away. It keeps the enemy from coming in like a flood and wrecking our lives. Fire of God is God's protection. The fourth thing is this. Fire is a symbol of God's discipline and God's testing. We don't like this one. I'm talking a lot about myself this morning, but I'm going to go there again. Another one of my favorite programs. In fact, this is probably my favorite program on TV. Some of you will have never heard of it. Others of you will be like secretly going, oh yeah, I watched that too. It's called Gold Rush. Has anybody ever seen Gold Rush? No. Oh, look, you like it as well, don't you? You smiled as soon as I said it. You were like, oh yeah, I like that too. It's another man program where they've got big diggers and they just dig for hours and hours. Yeah, and they're like, big machinery. You know what I mean? I watch it and my wife's there going, are you watching that again? It's the same thing every week. And it is. It literally is. They have 14 seasons of people digging in dirt and then at the end of it, cleaning the dirt, getting gold out and then weighing it. And everyone's like, oh yeah, it's a great idea for a program. First season, yeah. I'm on season 14 and I'm still excited every single week. But that's the process. You see, what happens is that they dig down into the ground and they're going hundreds of feet down into the ground. And then what happens is that they bring up all this dirt, and that's what it is. It's just dirt. And then what happens is this, is that they clean it, and once they clean it, what they are left with is gold. And actually, to get the gold out of the sifting process, actually, they have to burn it. They have to heat it up. Why? Because the heat burns away all the dross and what is left? Gold. And it is the same with our lives. There will be times in our lives where testing will come. And actually, we blame it on the devil, but it might not be the devil. And sometimes, shall I tell you something? And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you may call me a heretic now, but go with me for a second. Sometimes the devil gets blamed for far too much. What? It's true. Let me tell you this, is that 99% of the problems that go on in the world are not the devil's fault at all. They're our own choices. And the devil is there in hell, and he's there rubbing his hands together going, you know what, I'm not having to do anything. By the way, I said this at my church a few weeks ago. It was really, really funny. Because a couple of weeks before, somebody had come to see me. And when somebody says to you, you'll know this, when somebody comes to you and they say, oh, can I have a word? You're like, oh. Normally, I pass it now off onto somebody else. Do you know what I mean? I said, yes, I'll meet with you. And this person came in to see me and they sat down with me and they said this. They said, the devil is attacking me. Now, at that point, I should have been incredibly pastoral, but I wasn't. I actually, hear me, and this is a terrible thing to admit. Am I being recorded? Yes. Right, okay. I have to be careful, all right? But I was a little bit flippant with this person that had come to see me because I said, the devil is not attacking you. Why? Because we blame the devil for far too much. The devil is not in Lytham right now, all right? Just so you know. The devil is not, in the nicest possible sense, the devil is not interested in you and me. He is on the earth. That's what the Bible says. He is on the earth. But he's not in Lytham. If you look around the world right now, you can probably pinpoint, you can have a fairly good idea of where he is because of what is going on in the world right now. And so often what happens is that we blame the devil for so much, but actually he's nowhere near us. It's our own choices that we make. Or sometimes it might even be God himself not giving you a hard time, but trying to refine you through a situation so you can become more like him. We have to understand that God is a jealous God and he wants you. We need to understand that sometimes there is going to be hardships in our lives, but through those hardships, God is doing something by the fire of God that is going to refine us and help us to become a little bit more like his son, Jesus. My dad used to say, I've got three verses there, but I'm not going to go through them because I want to go on to something at the end. Some of you may know that my dad's not dead, was. He's still alive, past tense. Sorry, Dad. My dad, he was a minister. He had several different churches. And for a season, he was the national leader of Assemblies of God in the UK. And my dad, I remember growing up, my son was gutted because now my son's at an age where he's doing what I did with my dad. And when I go out and preach in different places, he comes with me. Do you know what I mean? But this morning he wasn't allowed to because he was playing drums in Bebbings at one of the churches on the Wirral. And he was gutted he couldn't come. You single? Because I am looking for a wife. And I've seen what car your parents bought him. So I know that they're minted. So I'm looking at me, looking forward, going, look at these, look at you two gone red. Look at you, look at them. So the thing with it is that I'm more than happy to bring a few goats, do you know what I mean? Or whatever, in payment. Sorry, look at you, look, everyone's gone red on the front row. I love doing that, it's just really funny. But my lovely car, by the way, very nice. Not as fast as mine, but nice. But I've lost my train of thought now. Yes, my dad. But my dad, when he used to go out and preach, he was out all the time. And I used to go as kind of a 14, 15, 16-year-old dad. I'd go with my dad everywhere, wherever he was preaching. And there was one time he went through a phase of preaching the same message wherever he went. And this one preach, it had like a tagline in it that I've never, ever forgotten. And it was this, is that tough times never last, but tough people do. And you know what? It's something that has stuck with me. Because actually, when the fire of God is in our hearts, tough times will come. Let me tell you this, if people say to you, come to Jesus and everything will be okay, they're lying. Do not go to that church. Because it's not true. Everybody goes through trials and circumstances. Even Jesus lost his best mate. Jesus went through times of hardship where he cried and he was in grief. He understood what it was to go through pain. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some of you will know that story. They actually stood up for what was right and said, we're not going to bow down. They still ended up in hardship. They ended up in a fiery furnace, but the Bible is brilliant. But I see a fourth man standing in the fire. And I want to say this to each and every person. We are going to go through tough times, but tough times don't last, but tough people do. And we need to continue to remember that our God is with us. That yes, there will be times, but we need to understand that the fire of God can come and refine our hearts. And maybe this morning there's people here that are dealing with stuff where even, I don't know, unforgiveness. And it's something that has taken root within your heart. But let me tell you this, friend, is that when the fire of God comes, there can be a time where, yes, there may be pain, but we can come to a place where we say, God, I'm willing to forgive. I don't know. Maybe that's a word for somebody here this morning. But we need the fire of God. The last thing is this, and with this I'm going to close. And then we're going to sing together. Fire is a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it reads like this. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a loud sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Jesus was now back in heaven. And Jesus had said to his disciples, stay here and wait. They didn't know how long the wait was going to be. But they knew something was going to happen. I don't know everyone's situation and circumstances in this room. And maybe you are in a waiting period. You haven't seen the breakthrough that you want. Well, I want to say this to you this morning. Wait. Keep waiting. Keep praying. Notice that they weren't just hanging around. It says that they were in an upper room praising, worshiping and praying. That's what they were doing. They're having a praise party while they're waiting. And then, great word, suddenly. You see, sometimes God will come out of the extra or out of the ordinary. He will do something extraordinary in the middle of something. Why can't it be this morning that before we leave here this morning, in a relatively little room in the middle of Lytham, the Holy Spirit can come with fire and we can be changed by the power of God, not for a moment, but for a lifetime? Why can't it be? Why can't it happen? See, I believe it can happen. I believe that God can come in a way, suddenly, something happened. The Holy Spirit is seen throughout Scripture. He's seen as wind. He's seen as dew. He's seen as rain. Holy Spirit is seen as oil. He's actually seen as a dove as well. But he's also seen as the all-consuming fire. The Church of Jesus Christ needs a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit that comes with fire and burns up all the rubbish that we've created. All the systems and the structures that, you know what, sometimes don't work, and we're more interested in process than we are in the person of God. By the way, I'm not decrying process. We need process. But if it overtakes the presence of God, we're missing something. We need the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16. One is coming that will baptize you with the holy fire of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray for each and every person here this morning that God, that as we leave this place, that Father, I pray that something has happened, and I seal it now in the name of Jesus, that no devil in hell will come and try and rob, that Father, our own intellect won't try and rob, but God, that we will leave here knowing that we have met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning, that there is something of a fire that has been birthed within our hearts that will take us on a journey of a discovery, and Father, we will see this place filled with people that are on fire for you, changed by the power of God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen.